Ever think about a plan, like so huge and so early, that it was set in motion before you even existed? I mean, it's mind-blowing, but the Bible hints at it, right? Like, God's saving work, it wasn't because of anything we did. It was something he decided before, well, before anything.
Yeah, like way back in 2 Timothy 1.9, it says, God saved us before time began. Whoa.
Right. That verse takes us straight to this big idea in theology. Election.
Exactly. And that's what we're diving into today. You sent over Dr. Peterson's teaching on salvation, that session 7 on systematic formulations, and that's our focus.
It is. We're going to try to unpack this whole concept of election, like specifically, when does it actually happen and what's it based on?
According to Dr. Peterson and his analysis of scripture, of course.
Of course. We're going deep on this idea that this choosing, this election, happened before the foundation of the world.
Heavy stuff.
It can be. But Dr. Peterson does a good job, you know, really making it clear. So we're going to explore the scriptural reasons for this pre-creation election.
Yeah.
Hopefully in a way that makes sense.
And without getting too bogged down in theological jargon.
Yeah, exactly. So ready to dive in.
Let's do it.
Okay. So first things first, we've got to understand this idea of timing. Dr. Peterson makes it clear. Election happens before the foundation of the world.
Not some sort of backup plan. This is the original, the blueprint. And that chronology is really important.
Super important. And 2 Timothy 1.9, the verse we started with, really lays the groundwork. It talks about God's own purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. The key here is that God's plan to save us, it wasn't a reaction to us.
It was something he decided on his own.
Exactly. Like an initiative he took before time even started. God's action first, even before creation itself.
And it's not just this one verse, right? Dr. Peterson brings up Revelation 2, both 13.8 and 17.8. They talk about names being written in the book of life from the foundation of the world.
Right, the book of life. It's not just like some cosmic guest list, though. Dr. Peterson explains being in the book of life means you're enrolled in the city of God.
And being left out. Well, that means the opposite.
Right. And the point is that inclusion or exclusion, it was determined way back at the beginning.
From the very foundation of the world.
Right.
And this timing really drives home a major point. Election, and therefore salvation, is all God.
It's not on us.
Not on us. Not based on anything we do or even any faith he saw in us beforehand.
Which kind of brings us to the big question, right? If it's not about us, then what is it about? What's the basis for this election thing?
Yeah, this is where it gets really interesting. Dr. Peterson's point is that scripture always points back to God himself.
His will and his love. That's the basis for election.
And he starts in the Old Testament with a great example. God choosing Israel. Deuteronomy 7:6-8 lays it out. God chose Israel out of all the peoples on earth. And he did it because he wanted to. It was an act of his will.
And it wasn't because they were so great or anything. Right. Like Deuteronomy actually says, it was not because you were more in number that the Lord set his love on you and chose you.
For you were the fewest of all peoples.
But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers. So God's choice was all about his love, his faithfulness.
And here's the thing. God wasn't choosing Israel because he saw they'd be so faithful and obedient. Dr. Peterson points out scripture calls them a stiff-necked people over and over. Exodus, Deuteronomy, Nehemiah. They weren't exactly saints. They were far from perfect, which again shows that God's choice wasn't based on human merit or even what he knew they would do.
Okay, so Old Testament, check. But what about the New Testament?
Dr. Peterson takes us to Paul's letters, specifically Ephesians 1. It's packed with deep truths about election.
Yeah, Ephesians 1, I mean, verses 3 through 14 are amazing.
It's actually one long sentence in the original Greek.
Wow, one sentence.
One sentence. And Dr. Peterson talks about how scholars break it down into three sections. Each one ends with this praise about God's amazing grace.
And each of those sections shows us what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit do in our salvation.
Right. Exactly. The Father elects and predestines. Like it says back in verse 11, the Son redeems us, you know, through his blood. That's the middle part. And the Holy Spirit seals us, which is in the last section.
So let's focus on the Father for a second. Ephesians 1:4-5 says God chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Okay, so that's the choosing part. Then it says, in love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So it's all about God's will, right?
Absolutely. And verse 11 doubles down on that. It says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will."
A lot of wills in there.
There are. And Dr. Peterson really stresses how important this is. Election is tied to God's will, his purpose, his plan, his counsel, all flowing from his love. So this wasn't random. It was intentional.
It's like God had a plan all along. And Dr. Peterson connects that back to the Old Testament, how God chose Israel for the same reason, out of the same love and purpose. Which, I mean, I'm sure some people are thinking, wait, is that fair? Why choose one nation over others?
Totally a valid question. And Dr. Peterson addresses that head on. He says God wasn't obligated to choose anyone. Plus, he says God's big plan in choosing Israel, the goal was to save the whole world.
World domination, good guy style.
Exactly. And there are even hints of that in the Old Testament. Like, some Egyptians joined the Israelites in the Exodus, right? And there's Jonah going to Nineveh and Rahab in Jericho. So even though God chose a specific nation, his plan was always for everyone.
And in the New Testament, it all clicks.
Yeah.
Jesus, he's the true Israel. The 12 disciples, like the 12 tribes. And then the church, that's like the new Israel of God, taking the gospel to the whole world. So it starts specific, but it ends up including everyone.
Right. And from here, Dr. Peterson shifts gears a bit. He takes us to Romans 8:28-30. This is like a core passage on God preserving those he faves. And yeah, we'll talk more about preservation another time. But right now, we're focusing on these verses in light of election.
Okay, so Romans 8:28, everyone knows this one. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. It was a good verse, super comforting. But Dr. Peterson says the next two verses really explain why it's true.
They do. Verses 29 and 30 show us that God planned out this greatest good, that's our salvation, from beginning to end. Dr. Peterson points out five past tense verbs where God's the one doing the action: foreknew, predestined, called, justified, and glorified.
And they're all in a row, too. It's like links in a chain. Like, one thing leads to the next. The Puritans actually called this the golden chain of salvation, right?
They did. And Dr. Peterson talks about how it's a type of climax in writing. It emphasizes how God's work in salvation is continuous and absolutely certain. So it's not just that good things will happen, it's that God's already working it all out.
So God starts it and he finishes it. No question.
Exactly. But there's this one word that we need to look at closer. Foreknew. Dr. Peterson brings up the Arminian view, which is that God looked into the future, saw who would believe, and then chose them based on that.
Like God's choice was based on our choice.
Right. But Dr. Peterson says that's not how the Greek works. In the original, God's the subject, the one acting, and his people are the object. It's not just knowing something intellectually. It's about a relationship, a love that already exists. He even uses Amos 3.2, where God says, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth." God wasn't saying he didn't know about the other nations. It was more like a special covenant love. So in this context, foreknew really means God foreloved his people.
Okay, that makes sense. And then the chain continues, right?
Yeah.
Those God foreloved, he predestined, which means he chose them for salvation beforehand. Then those he predestined, he called, like invited them to himself through the gospel. Those he called, he justified, made them righteous in his sight. And those he justified, he glorified. That's talking about our future transformation, but it's so sure that it's spoken of as already done.
And that brings us to Romans 9, which Dr. Peterson calls the Textus Classicus, the classic text for the doctrine of election and predestination. To really get this chapter, you got to understand what was going on when Paul wrote Romans.
All about context, right?
Always.
Yeah.
So the church in Rome, it had both Jewish and Gentile believers. And while they were from different backgrounds, had different practices, and some tension was brewing.
Like culture clash.
Exactly. And Paul, part of his goal in this letter is to like bring them together, show them they're united in Christ.
One big happy family.
In theory. But the Jewish Christians, they had this question nagging at them. Dr. Peterson puts it like this: has God's word to Israel failed?
Because the Messiah had come, but a lot of their own people didn't accept him.
Yeah. So, like, what happened to all those promises God made to Israel?
Good question.
Right.
And Paul spends the next three chapters, Romans 9 through 11, answering that. And he gives three connected answers.
Lay it on us.
First, in Romans 9, his point is that God has always been sovereign, completely in control when it comes to saving people. He chose to save certain Jews, and that's that.
Okay, but what about people's choices?
Paul gets to that in Romans 10. He talks about how those who reject Christ, they're responsible. That's human responsibility. And then, Romans 11, Paul brings the hope. He says God hasn't forgotten about ethnic Israel. His promises to them haven't gone away. His gifts and calling are permanent.
God keeps his promises.
He does. And Dr. Peterson really emphasizes how both of these are true. God's sovereignty and human responsibility. They work together somehow, right, even though it can be hard to wrap our minds around.
It's a lot to think about. It is. And then in Romans 9:6-13, Paul gets really specific. He makes a distinction between being physically descended from Abraham and being a true child of the promise. Like, he compares Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau. So just because you're related to Abraham doesn't automatically mean you're in.
So, like, bloodline isn't everything.
It's not the key. The key is God's promise. And that's not based on us, like on our faith or our good deeds. God chose Jacob over Esau before they were even born, before they did anything good or bad. The reason. So that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls.
God calls the shots.
He does. And of course, people might say, well, isn't that unfair? And Dr. Peterson takes us to Romans 9:14-18, where Paul answers that question with a resounding, absolutely not.
No way.
No way. Paul emphasizes God's right as the sovereign Lord to do as he pleases. He even quotes Exodus 33:19, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. And the words whom, there are singular.
It's all about individual choice. God's choice.
Exactly. Paul also stresses that salvation isn't about us wanting it badly enough or trying hard enough. Romans 9:16 says, so then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy.
So God is merciful, and he shows that mercy to whomever he wants.
And to illustrate that, Paul uses the example of Pharaoh, a powerful king who opposed God at every turn. God even hardened Pharaoh's heart.
That's a pretty intense example.
It is. But Dr. Peterson warns us not to go too far with this and fall into what's called hyper-Calvinism. We need to remember the bigger picture of the gospel, how it's about grace and mercy.
Right. Always grace and mercy.
Always. And then Romans 9:19 throws out another objection. It says, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But Dr. Peterson says this question actually shows that we're understanding God's sovereignty correctly.
It's like, it's so hard to grasp that we push back against it.
Yeah. And Paul answers this with a powerful analogy, the potter and the clay. You know, in Romans 9:0-24, God, as the potter, he has the right to make different kinds of pots. You know, some for fancy stuff, some for everyday use. Dr. Peterson explains that the vessels of mercy, those are both Jews and Gentiles, the ones God has called by his grace. So you see how election and calling are linked.
Makes sense.
And then Dr. Peterson tackles the really big question, the one people debate all the time, God's role in, you know, where people end up, heaven or hell. Hmm. And he explains that God is involved in both, but not in the same way. He points out that the Bible uses active voice when talking about God preparing those for mercy and passive voice for those destined for wrath.
Active for mercy, passive for wrath. That's interesting.
It is. He then gives us this framework for thinking about why people are saved or condemned. Like, on the surface level, we're saved by faith in Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross.
Right. That's the gospel message.
Exactly. But ultimately, it all goes back to God's choice, his merciful election, before creation even happened. Same with condemnation. On the surface, it's because of our sin, our connection to Adam's sin. But ultimately, some are vessels of wrath, the ones God, the potter, chose to pass over. And Dr. Peterson says all these different explanations, they don't contradict each other. It's more like there are layers of truth and some things are still mysterious.
So as we wrap this up, this whole deep dive into what Dr. Peterson teaches really highlights that election is God's doing. He decided it before the world began, and it's based on his love and his will, not on anything we do.
And it's amazing how the Trinity works together in all of this. The Father chooses, the Son redeems, and the Holy Spirit seals. When Dr. Peterson went through that golden chain in Romans 8 and broke down Romans 9, it really showed how powerful God is and how real our choices are, even if we can't fully understand how those two things work together.
Yeah, it's definitely a deep topic. It makes you think hard about the foundation of our faith, you know, like how God started it all, how he chose us.
And this brings up a question for everyone listening. If God's choice came first, before we did anything, how does that change the way you think about your own faith? And maybe even how you see people who believe differently. Like, what if God's love and will are the real reasons behind election? How might that change how we talk to others about our faith?
Wow, those are some good questions to ponder. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Keep thinking about these things. And hey, maybe check out Dr. Peterson's work for yourself. We'll see you next time.